Buglers, we are live from Leicester Square Theatre on the 16th of September with Chris Addison and Alice Fraser. It might be our only London date of the year, so get your tickets now. Oh, get them at thebuglepodcast.com. That bit's important.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Hello, I'm Tiff Stevenson, comedian, actor, writer, great friend, and shoulder you can complain on. Welcome to Catharsis, the podcast where guests bring their pet peeves, major moans, and list of complaints to just let it all out. As well as our problems, we'll also be diving into some historical rumbles and topical spats. So you don't feel left out, I'll be getting into it on your behalf as well, a bit later on as Angry Aunt. What or who has been pissing on my chips this week? I hear you cry. Well, this one I've had an issue with for a while. Let's get into it. It's the phrase barely legal. Now, about 5 years ago, I went to Louisiana, and as I flew into New Orleans, Louisiana airport, I saw a sign on the runway, which I thought, when I saw it from a distance, said, "Welcome to New Orleans, the birthplace of jazz." But as we were taxiing along the runway, I realized it said, "Larry Flint's Barely Legal Strip Club." Now, in case you're wondering, barely legal doesn't mean the fire exits were obstructed. Or the food hygiene wasn't up to code. Barely legal is the age of the strippers. Oh, it's so naughty. They're barely legal. They're on the cusp of hymen. Barely legal strip club. Barely legal magazine. Why don't we just start calling barely legal what it actually is? Almost pedo. I'm telling you, if you started calling it almost pedo strip club, they would think twice before walking in there, wouldn't they? I'm just saying, right? How is this viewed as a positive thing? Like, if you're a necrophiliac, you don't get to have a magazine called Nearly Cadaver hanging on by a thread weekly. If you saw a barely legal driver on the road, by that I mean someone who's just passed their test, you would avoid them. You'd steer around them. Like, fuck them. They don't know what they're doing. I don't know at what point it became sexy or okay to say barely legal. It might be legal. It may be barely legal. I'm not sure it's moral. That's all I'm saying. And I'm going to introduce you to my guest and ask his opinion on this hot topic. This week I am joined by, I'm going to say, stand-up comedian, crepe connoisseur, and writer Michael Oduwale.
Oh, wow, what an introduction. Thank you for having me and throwing me right into the frying pan. Which is good. Barely legal. No, I'm agreeing with you. I agree with you. That is a very, very messed up way of advertising anything, yeah. I think. Do you know what I mean?
I think actually, as a punter, you don't want barely legal, do you? You want definitely consensual.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.
If you're call it the definitely consensual strip club, right?
If you're attracted to someone who's just, like, their birth certificate is just one day over or an hour over, that's problematic. There's a problem there. Leonardo DiCaprio, we're talking to you.
Yes, the 25 and below club. It's time for an old grudge. Michael, have you been holding on to something that you feel like you need to let go? You know, like when you're backed up for a poo and you haven't been for a week and you're like, I need to get this out of me because at this point it's hurting me more than it's hurting anyone else.
Yeah, the poo is hurting me more than the poo. Yeah, I guess.
I've never introduced it that way before, but I think we should stick with that. I think it's very eloquent. But yeah, something that's happened that you feel like it would be good to get this, let's air it. You know, let's talk about it. Let's get it out there because you've been holding on to it and you need to unload.
I'm glad you said that because obviously I can't afford therapy. So that's why I come on podcasts.
This is free therapy, right?
To get out the way.
I mean, I don't hold me accountable for any life choices you make on the other side of this
podcast. Right. There's no actual resolution, but at least I can vent. Okay. Let's take it back. The year's 2005. Okay. There's a girl. 8, 9 years
barely
old.
Legal.
Very, very much. That's not even barely. That's so 8 or 9. I'm 8 or 9, just to be clear. And so is there's this girl.
Yeah.
I've crossed on Paige.
Paige.
Same age as me.
Right, yeah, that's cute. Paige and Michael.
I propose to her.
Oh!
Right. So in our school, I don't know if it's like common, but you know, with the Haribo rings, do you know what I mean? That right. is a sign of like, hey, I want to make this official.
We had love hearts, you see, but there's a bit of a generational age gap between me and you. So I could see our Haribo. I mean, it's a ring.
Hey, it's a ring.
A Coke can ring we would maybe do.
See, that you can cut yourself on that. We were health and safety conscious like, by this age. PC got mad. And so the ring sort of just, you know, like in a real wedding, like, hey, we're legit. We're together. She says, yes. Great. Amazing. By lunchtime, she has eaten the ring. And we're broken up again. And just the embarrassment of that within the school, that I couldn't hold down Paige for longer than a full day of school. It still, to this day,
haunts you.
It explains my trust issues, I'm not going to lie, that I have. As a 27-year-old man, I think I haven't got over that almost, 20 years later.
Paige, what the fuck is your problem?
No, what's going on, Paige? You couldn't wait a day?
I like the idea of just been really shouting that. Fuck is your problem? I think so. A couple of things here.
Mm-hmm.
I would take it not to heart so much because there's such a thing as temporary engagement rings.
Right.
So essentially, you asked her to marry you, so that was her engagement ring. A lot of the time, people don't, they get temporary engagement rings so that then the fiance or the wife-to-be or the husband-to-be, you know, whatever, can go and shop for their own ring.
Yeah.
Pick something they like
yeah.
themselves. And they say, yes, actually. So it could just be, she was like, this is just temporary.
If she wanted more Haribo.
My love for Michael is true and deep.
Yeah.
So I can just...
No, it wasn't. We were done. We were over. It was to signify that she was hungry and also that I'm done with you. I'm moving on to Bradley. I remember you too, Bradley. Yeah. The whole thing was a mess. And if she wanted more Haribo, I could have gotten her more Haribo. It wasn't about the Haribo.
Mini packs or a full bag?
No, I'm 8. I'm not balling. I ain't got money for
maybe,
family
maybe
size.
Maybe that's what she was looking for, though. Maybe that's what Bradley was coming with, a full pack of
Bradley
Haribo.
Had the multi-pack. I didn't have it like that. Bradley came through with the multi-pack. He had the Haribos. He had the Starburst. I had my one Haribo ring. I saved up all week.
Bradley
20p.
Bought the foamy ones.
Yeah. And so I've not found her since. But I wish I could have this resolution. If you want to be Paige, and I can kind of have this.
Oh, yes, let's do this. Okay. All right, so I'm playing. So I'm about 10 years old. So again, what was I into at that time? I was probably listening to, like, Bross. When will I be famous? In my headphones.
Right.
Like, and with my bottle tops, my Grolsch bottle tops
yeah.
and my shoes.
Yeah.
And
Scooby-Doos? We had Scooby-Doos.
Yeah. And looking through my list of what I used to do at that age was write top 10 lists of boys that I fancied,
right.
boys that I wanted to kiss, who my best friends were. So I was busy making lists.
Clearly,
right?
I thought I was number one.
I was making lists, like bucket lists, Schindler's lists, whatever, you know. I've got a lot going on.
Yeah. Paige, you're busy. That's what I like, an independent woman. Yeah. She's got her own thing going on, you know,
right?
top set.
So I'm listening to my tunes and how did you step up into this moment? Do you remember?
You know what I mean? I had a bit of suave. So, you know, I used to play football. In
right.
the playground.
So I'd be like, oh, there's that hot guy. Did you have a nickname? Were you like Mickey?
No.
You were just always Michael.
Just
you
always
never
Michael.
Mike.
Never Mike.
No, it's Michael.
You can't be a young Mike. I don't know.
Mike feels like a younger than Michael. Feels very formal for a child.
It does, doesn't it? It does, actually.
It's like the full... It is Michael. It is Michael.
It is I.
He's come from the football pitch where he has been playing.
No, Mom.
Yes. Yeah. So you come over and I'm maybe like, oh, look, he's playing. He's really good at football. Look,
yeah.
And you may be doing some keepy-uppies to
show
that.
Yeah.
Kind of...
No. I was more like, boot it. Down the field.
Oh, the old Arsenal 90s game.
Yeah. Just like my leg strength, my calf strength was quite strong.
Right.
That age.
So did you offer that up as like a... page have you seen
just
my
like in my shorts calf. Yeah, you know, my shorts are sure. Look at this calf, this is a strong calf right there. You can raise a family on this calf.
It's really weird when you talk about a singular calf.
Yeah, calves. Oh yeah, it was just a left calf. The right calf was not there.
Was not there.
And I think maybe she would again. Bradley maybe had stronger calves than I did.
Maybe. So you step up. So mm-hmm. do you want me to replay this where it works out well for you?
I think I want closure.
Okay.
I want answers.
Okay. I'm gonna say sorry. So you're gonna offer me the ring. Are you on one knee at this point?
No, because you've already. I want to know why you broke up. Okay. Why you ate the ring? Why you moved on to Bradley? Right. That's the stage we're at.
So you've already proposed.
We're in couples counselling, basically.
So right, okay. So basically, so we've gone into the head teacher's office. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She wants to know what's going on, and I have to say, like, Michael, it wasn't personal.
Mm-hmm.
It was just when I'm making my lists of boys that I fancy and listening to my bros on my headphones, I get real snacky.
But so how did I go from number one on the list in the afternoon from number one to not even in the top 10
more? What happened with Bradley? I need to know what happened with Bradley.
I don't know what Bradley had. Maybe, again, stronger calves. Maybe he scored a hat trick that day.
This is what happened. I was feeling snacky
mm-hmm.
and it literally was. It wasn't personal. It was because I think you're really good at football and I think you've got really good calves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was just, I felt like really snacky. So I ate the ring and I saw it as more of a temporary ring.
Okay.
Because engagement rings, you know, temporary engagement. I thought you were going to come back to me with something more solid.
That's all I had.
Later, maybe from Claire's Accessories.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Something that you spent a whole like £3 on or
maybe
something.
Maybe in secondary school, but you know, we have to save.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and so it's not personal and you're probably going to go on to become hugely successful and we'll never hear of Bradley again.
Mm-hmm.
And we may never hear of me.
Maybe.
I'm just Paige. I'm nobody Paige. I'm Paige Turner. You've turned the page on me.
I'm not going to lie. I do think I've used this as fuel for the past 20 years. I'm a show them.
I'd like to say you're welcome for giving you a career in stand-up comedy. That early rejection has pushed you on to mm-hmm. do magnificent work. In that you've got an Amazon Prime special now, all because I rejected you and your Haribo ring.
In another universe, maybe me and Paige, we have three kids and like I'm working in a bad job trying to raise
maybe
them.
In a call center.
Exactly.
Maybe I'm not saying a call center job is bad, but most people
just
have
not
other
living,
aspirations.
Not living the
most
dream.
People who are in a call center are there because it's on the way to do something else.
Yeah, I've
that's
worked
I mean
in a call centre.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was
so
not
maybe
the dream.
You are, yeah, maybe you were living an unsatisfactory life in an alternate universe. I hope in some way this has helped you get it off your chest, feel a bit better.
A little bit. I think it's tough because Bradley had a Tamagotchi and I do think that was part of the reason.
Ah, see, now you're bringing this information into play.
That's new.
Later on, this is new information. I will say I had a Tamagotchi. I did let it die.
Mm. Like Paige let our love die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a beautiful metaphor, I think, to end the story on.
I think so.
Thanks for sharing.
I feel better.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Now it's time for some topical cream.
Okay.
We apply some balm to a stingy news story that's got you all het up. So tell me what's on your mind that's happening in the news at the moment, the last few weeks, the last month, the last 6 months, something that you're like, ah, oh, this is so now and this is so annoying.
The collapse of the British economy? Is that?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty.
That's pretty recent.
That's, you know, pretty,
I mean,
yeah.
No more Haribo rings. I think that inflation is going to hit them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you thinking maybe you might go and work in America? Because at least then when you bring the money back,
right,
you'll get a decent amount.
I just think, about like getting shot. Like those shouldn't be my options. Do you know what I mean? Like I want a pound that's not jelly. And I also don't want to get shot. You know, yeah. I don't know if it's worth it. I just don't know.
Yes, yeah, of course. I forget. That's it's a whole different scenario.
Yeah.
For you going out there, because I was like, I need to go out there get some of that money. But I'm a white woman. You're a black man.
Listen, anyone
can
get it.
There's a whole level of danger. Yeah. There's a risk versus reward here.
Yeah.
Which I hadn't considered. Yeah. So you know, it's terrifying. The Dow Jones is down, yeah, apparently, but I think most Welshmen I know are depressed anyway.
Yeah.
But I think, what are we now? We're I think the euro is about to overtake us where, wow, we are now, and we're pound for dollar, or I want to say pound for pound, but we're matching with the dollar, which is just like unprecedented. Yeah. I think. And I remember as a kid getting sent money. And it being a bit devastating, actually, getting sent money from America from my aunt for my birthday.
Yeah.
And she'd send me like $50 or something, $50. I'd be like, I got £50. And I'd change it up and I got 25.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe even less because of the exchange rate. And now I've just never heard the like. So the only way to really benefit from it is we're only really benefiting if we go to America and make that money, because we get to bring more back. But actually,
it's not. I went to Disneyland last year and I still got some Disney cash. I think that I'm going to start trading in that.
Oh, like Bitcoin, but yeah, Disney. Yeah,
because I think at the moment Disney cash is stronger than the pound. I think my Goofy dollars.
Goofy dollars. Have you? Tell me about the Disney money. Who's on? So is there Goofy dollars?
You got Goofy on it. Mickey is obviously number one.
Yeah.
In Mickey we trust. He will live forever.
I like to call that Mickey coin.
Mickey coin.
Goofy dollars.
Yeah. So I think that right there, that's going to stay strong.
Right.
So right now, I keep that under my mattress.
Right.
You know, I keep my for when the revolution comes.
Yeah.
I keep my Disney money underneath my mattress. I'm going to get ready to trade in that for goods.
Listen, it's as real as actual money is. Money doesn't exist anyway.
Yeah.
It says on it, the promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £10, but that used to be gold or silver. I mean, they're sort of hoping that there'll just be the kind of like top tier tax cuts, which feel so mad. The 45% tax cut.
Oh, the trickle down.
The trickle down. Well, here's an interesting thing. If we want to talk about the trickle down, it puts a whole new spin on trickle down. But I saw a tweet today or yesterday in America of some strippers going, there's a big recession coming because we feel it in the strip clubs first. Like, they're like, we know. And she was like, they're moving from Houston and Miami. They're coming to New York. That's when you
really
know. That's when you know shit's real. And I was like, that does bring a new whole flavor to trickle down.
Strippers are like cats before an earthquake. Like they know something's going on like before. Do you know what I mean? They just feel it in the emotions.
Well, because I sort of watched that in Hustlers as well. They are like, they are very tapped into the market and aware of what's happening on the, you know, sales to buyer.
Well, the thing about strippers, they interact with some of the grimiest people in society who are often in power.
Yes.
So they know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a great bit in Hustlers where it kind of, And it puts you on the side of everyone who's in Hustlers and Jennifer Lopez's character, because she's like, they stole the money, people lost their houses, all we're doing is taking back our piece now. But there was no way for them to make money legitimately in the clubs again.
Yeah.
When the financial crash happened, it was all the bankers. So the first thing to go is your nights out, your spending, or all of a sudden going through receipts, going, I didn't buy that bottle of alcohol. I didn't buy, you know, where they were just making it rain in there. So those are all the bankers, all the people doing those subprime mortgages and stuff. They were spending the money.
So when you see me going into a strip club, just know I'm going in for economic policy. Don't judge me. I'm going in to learn about the economy. That's what I'm
doing. Spending your Disney dollars. I want you to spend your Disney dollars in the strip club so bad.
I'm make it rain Goofy style.
It's just a more honest transaction.
Yeah.
Come on.
I think so.
Mickey's basically on that pole. He's been there for what, 50 years?
Make it shake, Mickey. Make it shake.
How long has Mickey been around before working it? Yeah. I was interested in that. And I do. I think people in those jobs, or people who are in sex work, have a very keen sort of first-hand understanding of how all of that works. thank you for sharing your worries. I don't know that I've been helpful. I'm glad to know that you're holding. I've got a bit of crypto, but that crashed.
Oh,
that
was, yeah, what
that
is
that? That was sort of the sign. What is that? I don't know. I bought something called Shib Inu, and I had a bit of Ethereum. Because it's Ethereum sounded almost like it could be witchcraft fairy.
Sounds
Ethereum.
Like a perfume.
It's like thin air. And I had a bit of Doge as well. And I haven't even checked it because at one point it was doing quite well and I had like I'd earned back like double what I had, and then I went and checked and it was like back level and below, so I don't even know if there's anything in there anymore. It's probably all just swept out from underneath me. I don't really understand it. I don't understand what I'm investing in. No. I said before, what I need is a male version of, you know, Margot Robbie in The Big Short. I just need like a dude with his balls floating in imperial leather in a bar explaining to me how cryptocurrency
are the bulls
works.
Talking are they narrating?
I don't know. She just had, you know, you could see her. Yeah, it's kind of, I'm just trying to think of the male equivalent. I'm just trying to objectify men, keep it fair so it's not sexist.
Yeah, just go to a Magic Mic show and they'll hand out economic advice. We just kept all our economic advice in the strip clubs.
We'll keep it to the clubs where people are dancing and taking their clothes off and we'll feel okay about it. Thank you for sharing your stingy news story.
Again, don't feel any better, but good to share.
Good to chat. I don't know that I can help with that. And also, I kind of feel like it's not my fault.
Yeah, that's fair play.
Michael, it's time for me to ask you your unpopular opinion.
Okay.
So something that you love that everyone else hates, or vice versa, hit me.
Well, I'm currently learning how to drive. In the process, and I think my driving is great, but my instructor and everyone else on the road, they don't seem to enjoy what I'm doing.
Right.
My instructor, he said that I drive like Mr. Bean. That was his last just vibes on the road. I'm just going. But I think I'm doing all right.
So you're an unpopular driver.
Right. Yeah. So last test I did. Like mock test, 5 majors, which for me is progress.
Is that good or bad?
You're allowed one.
So, oh, I think a major sounds like a success.
Major failure.
Okay.
So right now I'm 5 times over the limit. Not on alcohol, just on badness.
You're barely legal on the road.
I'm completely sober, but I am driving like I am 5 times over the limit is what is being said. But I don't necessarily always take criticism very well, which is bad. For driving, because you need to be able to do that. But I think I'm doing fine, personally.
Right. How many driving lessons have you had so far?
Too many to count.
Right.
Maybe about 15 months worth.
Okay, I think that's not too bad. Are you doing one a week or one every
one,
2 weeks?
One a week is what I'm currently at. My problem is I forget information as soon as I'm out of the car. Or just in general in life, I forget information.
Okay, so I have a tip for you. I might be able to solve this problem.
Oh, we actually got a solvable one.
Yeah. So I went for a few lessons. I thought I was getting on reasonably well, and then I got sick and I was in hospital. I got blood poisoning when I was like 17, and it took me out for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came back into it, I was like, oh, I feel like I've got to catch up. And I was having a similar thing of like, I'm forgetting how to, because it's multitasking. And when you drive for it. I've driven for longer than I haven't driven.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So for me, this is a kind of, you know, I am the age I am, which is young and beautiful. Thank you for asking.
Yes.
But I've driven longer than I haven't driven. And so there are parts of driving that become very automatic, but it takes a while to get those to stick. And it's good to do that while you're younger.
Do you want to be my instructor?
I'll be your instructor. Yes. I should be your instructor. What I would recommend to you is buy a car. A little beat-up car.
Okay.
And then get someone, I'll come and take you out for a day and get your family and people that don't mind coming. Because that's what I did. When I came out of hospital, I was like, I feel like I'm not getting on. I really want to pass my test. So I bought a little car, like a little mini metro.
Yeah.
And my dad took me out a bunch of times. And also then you feel like there's less panic about, are you going to go over an hour?
Right.
It's a driving lesson being an hour. You're like, I feel like I can't really get into it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're doing an hour and a half or 2 hours, you're like, okay, we're going to start with some parking maneuvers or we're going to get on the road for like 5-10 minutes and just practice being on the roads and turning and indicating and doing all the stuff. And then the second half of that, we can just practice parallel parking, reverse, weirdly reversing around a corner. I don't, That was like,
I don't think they do that anymore.
Oh, they don't do that. That was a weird, like, it feels weird to reverse around a corner because
feels wrong.
People are going to be coming the other way.
When you say buy a car, you do remember my main currency right now is Disney
the
dollars.
The Disney dollars. Right. So I'm thinking like a clown car, maybe
yeah,
with
I
some.
Can do this.
Or has Mickey got a car?
I don't.
Mickey or Minnie? I feel like Minnie had a car at one point.
I think Mickey was the richest person, mouse,
right. Yeah.
in the world. So yeah. I think he's driven.
Yeah. So. And he has to wear those big pants because, you know, mice like pee constantly. It's called maturation.
That's a fact that it's I'm just going to accept.
Truth. You can Google it afterwards. But that's also maybe why he has those big balloon pants.
He's also very old, so that would make sense. He's over 100.
But also lessons are expensive. So you are sort of making a saving there.
Oh, this is true.
I think if you get a car, you can then go, if I do, how much are lessons these days? When I was doing it, it was about £15 an hour.
And that's doubled.
Right. So it's £30 an hour.
Yep.
Right. So if you're trying, and once a week is not enough. And if you go, I want to do a couple a week, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
So you can probably get a banger, a runaround for a few hundred quid.
Mm. Like one of the first cars, like one in the 1920s.
The original, a Fred Flintstone. You put your feet through the bottom and you just run.
I'll buy one of those.
But, you know, if you're thinking 60 quid a week, 60, 120, 240, just doing my maths here, over a course of 240 times 10, that's £2,500
wow.
over 10 months. So yeah. I'm just, you know, and people are going to help you drive for free. So if
who?
Who? Well, I
you're
will
assuming
help you.
I have
I will
loved
help
ones.
You. I will help you. I bet your mum would help you drive. Does she drive?
She does, but I'm worried I have her genes in terms of
right. Okay, right. So you need someone else in the mix. Okay. Yeah, I think there's people that you could ask to help you learn to drive. That would be my. That's just a suggestion. Listen, I'm a therapist. I'm here to listen
this
more than to offer solutions.
Really good practical advice.
This is.
I was not expecting that when I came here today.
I know. I feel like sometimes I do this with Michael. Poor Michael. We were doing shows together in Norway, and I was just like, and you need to do this. I'm basically like his mum. And
she
you
told
need to
me
do
I
this.
Need a screen protector today.
Today.
My phone's already cracked, so if you had told me that 2 weeks ago, I would have really appreciated it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I missed the opportunity. What is it that you hate about driving? What is the bit about driving that you hate, you dislike the most?
The feeling that I will die in the car.
Right.
That's, I'm in a death machine.
You're in a death machine. So Michael's unpopular opinion is whenever you get in a car is the realisation you're in a death machine.
I feel like maybe if they could have soothing music.
Well, you can do that. That's up to you. You've got a stereo in the car.
Okay.
Or, you know.
I want one of those self-driving cars.
Oh, okay. Right. The self-driving cars. Now, there's also been problems with those because it turns out the technology is as unreliable as humans can be. I think there's been a...
I would feel less guilty if I hit somebody, but it was self-driving on.
Yes, I suppose, yeah.
I want to take away the accountability.
You want to take away... So Michael's unpopular is accountability. He's not into it. I think, yeah, if it's a driverless car, I guess you can sue Tesla.
Yeah, because like if I hit somebody but the self-driving is on, I'm like, well, that's on Elon. It's
yes.
not on me.
Yeah, true. And I think that should be a T-shirt. Sometimes when we do this podcast, I quite like to think of T-shirt ideas. And I think Blame Elon would be a good T-shirt idea.
Yeah. So
thank
if
you.
I could just take away self-responsibility when I'm in the car, make the process so much easier.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that with me. And hopefully some practical advice. Tell us, well, you know, because I often hear now, this is very interesting to me, that not that many women, like younger women, are learning to drive. And I just feel like it's like a vital life skill to have, like really useful and important to be able to drive, especially when the apocalypse comes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're out on the streets selling shit for Disney dollars.
Well,
you're going to need to be.
The petrol crisis will ironically be one of the reasons the revolution.
Yes. Now we're going to get into some aurochs. If you don't know what aurochs is, it was a very old cow.
Are you okay? You having a stroke? What is this?
It's a very old cow. It's an old, like, historical breed of cow.
Okay.
Called aurochs. So we were like, historical beef.
And we're going to get inside of it?
No, you're not going to get inside of it. It's just like a way of saying old beef.
Okay.
I'm going to introduce this as Vinny Earlobe versus Paulie Gauguin. Now, so Vincent van Gogh, the sunflower obsessive who died penniless at 37 years old, lived on a diet of coffee, bread and booze, which I imagine is constantly needing a shit, but having no roughage to actually push it through, but then being too pissed to care about it. His neighbours called him Le Fou Roux, the red-headed madman. My nickname to the neighbours is that chippy blonde bitch. So we wanted to talk about his relationship with Gauguin because new research has just come to light. What do you know about Van Gogh's ear?
He was mentally unwell and he chopped off his earlobe.
Right.
And then he took a selfie or painted it and yeah. was like, went on the gram.
So apparently he turned up, it says the official version, so this is the version that we've always sort of known, is that it's a legendary act of self-harm, usually goes that the disturbed Dutch painter severed his left earlobe with a razor blade in a fit of lunacy after he had a row with Gauguin one evening shortly before Christmas in 1888. He then wrapped it in a cloth, walked into a bordello, presented the severed ear to a prostitute who fainted when he handed it to her. I feel like sex workers have really got an airing in this in this episode of the podcast.
That is a bad form of currency.
Yes, severed that is. Ear. Like, don't bring your that. Disney dollars yeah. before you bring your severed ear, please. Yeah. So before we get into like what the new theory is, I guess a little bit of background on their friendship. So because they're now saying the new version of the story is Gauguin might have been involved. So the background, two roommates, Paul Gauguin, Vincent van Gogh. Two famous late 19th century painters who were close friends, even creating a community of avant-garde artists together. In October 1888, Gauguin joined Van Gogh in Arles, the Yellow House. He was renting, staying there for just over 2 months. So this was the place that he, I think he painted the sunflowers in or inspired it. So the two of them lived together, sharing costs, drinking significant amounts of absinthe, which, you know, well, it'd be like us sharing an apartment in Edinburgh, just knocking back night nurse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, we all know this. Painting the same subjects. And apparently Van Gogh in particular was prolific, but their friendship deteriorated when their living situation became untenable. So
Van Gogh wasn't doing the dishes.
Van Gogh was not doing the dishes. That's what I feel like it is. It says the relationship was unbalanced. He frequently took advantage of Gauguin, dipping into his money and failing to help with household chores.
Wow.
So we can recognise this. If you live with someone who you feel like is not pulling their weight.
Yeah.
I shared once with a friend in Edinburgh, and it was because she was from the States, but she did put the plastic kettle on the gas hob, not realising that...
Was she American?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they,
but it's still plastic.
They don't have the...
But they have plastic in America. I feel like they shouldn't know.
But, so, you know, or silly things like putting milk that's gone off back in the fridge.
Yeah.
Leaving the toilet seat up. Those kind of things. I don't know what kind covered of... Who's cleaning the paintbrushes?
Right, exactly.
So this has got to be a household chore, right? If you're in a house that paints for a living, someone's got to be getting those brushes in White Spirit.
Exactly. Basics.
And it wasn't Vincent. And he borrowed money.
Borrowed.
Yeah.
Vinny was famously broke all the time.
Yes.
So it's probably a lot of money that wasn't given back.
Yes. Yeah, well, he died penniless.
Okay, so well.
He would have even been able to get it back afterwards. And apparently it was quarrels about art that pushed them fully apart. There was a violent dispute about a painting, which Gauguin argued it was important to work from imagination, whilst Van Gogh maintained paintings should be based on nature. Now, I don't know if this is... Yes, this is the evening of December the 23rd. So this is the night that Van Gogh's ear comes off.
Right.
Now, the new theory suggests that actually Gauguin accidentally cut it off.
But even as a swipe, there would have had to have been a quite pretty clean cut to take an ear off.
We don't know if the blow was an accident or deliberate attempt, but it was dark, and we suspect that Gauguin did not intend to hit his friend. So you might have done that thing, a bit like where you go, you know when you see someone with nunchucks and they don't really know how to use them, but they're like swishing their hands around like they do, and then they're accidentally going to bang it off something. And so maybe he was just swooshing about in the dark.
Because electricity himself. Had not been invented.
Yeah. No, in the dark, swishing about, fancy himself as Zorro,
like,
or Don Quixote or something.
Yeah, and then just took the man's ear off.
Just took it off.
Before Christmas as well.
Before Christmas. After the incident, Gauguin left Arles the next day and the two men never saw each other again. In the first letter that he wrote after the accident, Vincent told Gauguin, "I will keep quiet about this and so will you." That apparently was the beginning of the Pact of Silence.
So Van Gogh wrote that to, "I will keep quiet, but so will you." Why wouldn't he want it out there?
Well, this is the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, maybe he was like, it's not as interesting as a story. as me presenting a bit of Severdy.
Oh, right, because he'd already...
a woman in the bordello.
Yeah, yeah, as payment.
Maybe he felt like it gave him less agency.
Right. Like, maybe he was mentally ill.
Yes, maybe yeah. That was I mean, we have it. Discussed this. This is very much part of the... It's kind of like if someone broke your nose, kind of going, well, I don't want to tell anyone you did it because it's embarrassing for me. Like, how is that embarrassing for the person whose nose is broken? It's embarrassing for the person who couldn't hold their stuff down.
Yeah. Well, for my legal case, I would want everybody to know.
Yes.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
I plan to sue.
I plan to sue. There are plenty of hints in documents that the researchers had at their disposal that prove the self-harm version is incorrect. But to the best of their knowledge, neither of the friends ever broke the pact of silence. That's according to Kaufman, who suggests the story about Van Gogh's ear needs to be rewritten. So he painted the Starry Night, sunflowers and the potato eaters, and also a self-portrait of himself with his bandaged ear. He would go on to die from a self-inflicted gunshot wound at the age of 37. Gauguin died in 1903 at the age of 54. But before he died, and I feel like maybe this is in some way a piece of catharsis, 2 years before his death in Tahiti in 1901, Gauguin would paint sunflowers in a final tribute, or perhaps by way of apology or out of remorse, his catharsis.
To his dead illest friend.
Yes.
Some sunflowers.
To his friend who is obsessed with the flowers and their colour from living in the yellow house. I don't know that would be enough of an apology for me, but I guess if I was already dead, I wouldn't know.
I have to accept it by default.
Yeah. So that's you think the beef just ended that night after the letter that said, we shall never speak of this again.
Yeah.
An omerta.
We shall never speak of this again. Yeah, I think that's so. I think that makes sense.
That's a way to end a beef.
I'll accept it.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, you say forgive and forget, but then some people are like, I'm forgiving, but I'm not forgetting. But can you truly forgive if you haven't forgotten?
Well.
You didn't know I was going to be so philosophical to end the show.
I mean, I didn't even know what to do with that. Yeah. I feel like a real therapist.
Yeah, you got to chew on that for a couple of days at least.
That's tasty. Let it marinate.
Let it marinate. Come back to me when you want the driving lesson. Before we go and we do our plugs and tell everyone what you're up to,
yep,
we have time for one quick angry aunt. I call it angry aunt because I want to get annoyed on someone's behalf for them. Have you ever done a thing that wasn't your fault? I'll get angry on your behalf. I put the call out on Twitter. I've had a response from Henning Strack who said, I had a beef with a former employer. I switched shifts with a colleague because I had something else to do. The colleague then got sick. My employer said, therefore, it automatically becomes my shift again and that I have to turn up. I did not.
Wow.
I can see why he's angry.
That's fair.
He's got someone to cover his shift and then that person's got sick. That's not his fault. It's not Henning's fault. Henning, it's not your fault.
Who is he mad at?
I think he's mad at his former employer.
Right, not the person who's sick.
Not the person who's sick. I think the person who said, well, you've got someone, they're coming in, they're sick, but now they can't come in, so you have to come in again. You're like, well, I can't, I've got a life. I think a lot of these employers think that people don't have lives.
This is true.
Outside of their work that they do for money for them.
Do you sympathise with the employer at all?
They might have struggled to get someone. I don't know what the job is. It's kind of hard, isn't it, without knowing.
Like, I think if it's a neurosurgeon, I would understand the employer needing someone to cover that
shift. Saying you've got to come back in. Yes, yeah. Well, that's a very specific skill. Having said that, you know, you can reschedule.
Brain surgery.
You can reschedule brain surgery.
Yeah, I'd rather not. If you could find somebody...
Yeah, I imagine if Henning, if you're listening, if you are a neurosurgeon, I imagine you'd be like, okay, well, I've got to come in then because this person's going to die if I don't.
But I don't want a reluctant brain surgeon.
You don't want someone half-arsing.
I don't want someone who's got somewhere else to go after the brain surgery. This should be the main thing in your diary, please.
You don't want someone half-arsing around in your cranium.
You know what I mean? I need full commitment, please.
Yeah. So you don't want this person going, listen, I promised I would go to my goddaughter's bar mitzvah, or I promised that I would, you know, go to this gender reveal baby party.
Yeah, I promised
that I would go to a nightclub. Yeah, whatever you're doing.
I just don't want my brain surgeon looking at the clock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm going to be done by 8 and I will be done by 8.
I've got a wedding to get to.
Do you know what I mean?
I've got Christmas dinner to get to. You want me to do it on Christmas Day? So we don't know. It could be a holiday for some reason. It could be... could be anything he's asked for time off. It could be a family. I always feel like a family commitment, you know, it's a bit mean of employees to kind of go, well, no. And I guess it depends on the notice. Which, if it was that day,
yeah,
that's a bit of a different, we need a bit more information. But it is angry aunt, so I'm automatically taking the side of Henning.
Henning.
Fuck your boss, Henning.
Yeah, leave the job. I hope you can afford to do so.
Lovely. Please tell me about anything you have coming up, Michael. Anything you want to plug? Anywhere people should follow you? Any live shows you want them to come see?
Well, you can follow my Instagram, Michael Adewale Comedy. Post all my gig dates there. I host my own podcast, BTech Philosophers. We discuss philosophy at a very low level. You can listen to that and hear some of my musings. And that's it, really.
Thank you so much, Michael. If you want to know about what I'm up to, follow me on Twitter at Tiff Stevenson or on Instagram, and I've got a TikTok as well. There's a website. Oh, there's so much going on. I have shows coming up, live shows, but that's the best place to get all the up-to-date info, because I tweet about it and shout about it. And I think I've got an episode of Pointless coming out on BBC in the next little while, so look out for that. If you enjoy quizzes, I'm on with Sindhu V, and that was great fun. So check that out. Thank you for listening to Catharsis. I hope you all feel a little bit better for us sharing. As they say, sharing is caring.
You can listen to other programmes from The Bugle, including The Bugle, The Last Post, Tiny Revolutions and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.